Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Wigan X. And now get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Folks, AI is building a billion-dollar ripoff on musicians' work. What do I mean by that? AI companies, billions, hundreds of billions, even $1 trillion coming up soon, this IPO. And yet here it is all about stealing other people's work, musicians. Katie, I hear this all the time. Musicians tell me, again, who don't know a lot about AI, they're like, well, you know what? I've always been inspired by different artists over the time. And, you know, my music's not totally original. Every musician is, you know, a composite of other people. I hear that. In fact, I want to read to you this young lady's comment that she posted publicly. By the way, she's a great musician herself, Leah. But Leah says publicly, so thanks for doing this, I don't understand what the real risk is. So what if AI trains on the IP? It's not the real artist, and it isn't it a bit of a scarcity mentality to think somebody's stealing from me when the artist is the foundation of creativity and there's so much more where that came from? Honest question. I'm seeing a lot about AI theft, but there's never been anything new under the sun. So we all steal from other artists. If you think no artist has ever given permission to be in inspiring other people, there's so many court cases where someone knocked off somebody else's song because it sounds identical. But the problem is that people can't own chord progressions. Even melodies are very limited. There are so many melodies in the entire world. I don't understand the argument. What's bad? And then, you know, I responded a little bit and said, hey, let's hop on a call because it's way more in depth. I mentioned some court cases. I mentioned, you know, Murphy Campbell, of course, getting stolen and locked out of her own songs and demonetized. Mm-hmm. But Katie, what do you think, first of all, of this? Hey, we've always, been inspired versus AI is literally taking without permission. And what we've seen, Katie, is certain musicians can't even produce their songs anymore because the AI is saying, your song's AI, even though they created their songs before AI. AI is now the new standard that's preventing people from being able to legitimately produce songs.
Yeah, no, I think there's a clear line of distinguishment between being inspired by somebody and just blatantly stealing their intellectual property, right? So we can all be inspired by each other, but inspiration is different and distinct from actual infringement because, you know, when you're inspired, you're not, you know, it's something that's maybe motivating you or making you think about things in a particular manner. But when you're actually using somebody's IP without permission, there's a willful element there, right? Where you know this is protected, you know this is their intellectual property, but you're willfully taking it and using it anyways.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the difference between artist to artist. And, oh, I heard that person's song, and I like the sound. And when I write my own song, I'm going to, you know, be thinking about that. That's very different than saying $100 billion company, or let's just call it $1 trillion company, because they're at 960 billion. So let's say $1 trillion company, the main reason it has that valuation is because it took your content, trained on it without your permission. And how much are you getting? Zero.
Right.
So it's very different than, oh, hey, I got inspired by another musician and, you know, Joni Mitchell, I like the way she sings that last line and, you know, started her thing. But even then, the famous one is Under Pressure. Under Pressure song was taken, and there was a settlement. So I'm going to just Google that really quick. But Under Pressure copyright case. Yep, I found it right away. It's famous. And it basically says Queen, David Bowie, and Vanilla Ice. It's a 1990 legal dispute between Queen and David Bowie against Vanilla Ice. And it included an unlawfully sampled bass line from the track. And anyway, $4 million. All right. Yeah, so $4 million just from a bass line. But here, and again, Leah might be like, what? But I'll tell you what, here's why, Katie. When I hear the beginning of that song, and then I hear the beginning of Vanilla Ice, I don't know what song I'm listening to. In other words, there's brand confusion.
Yes.
Which is the whole point of, again, most people think IP protection is for the company. Isn't it true that it's really for the consumer? And an example would be, I feel sick. I need a prescription. I think that prescription is containing certain contents, but the IP is protected so that I don't take the other one and get sick or allergic or die. What do you think
of that? Right. Yeah. A lot of inherent value in trademarks comes from the consumer recognition of the brand, that the recognition that's been built around the brand, so that a consumer doesn't confuse somebody else's product as belonging to the same company. So a lot of it is this kind of inherent goodwill that's been built up in the marks there.
Yeah. If I think, oh my gosh, people have told me for 30 years I should buy a John Deere. Well, John Deere's are green and yellow, and and then I go buy a green and yellow tractor, it fails immediately, blows up, and my life is at risk. I was confused because I was thinking I was buying a John Deere because even of the colors. And that's why John Deere has trademarked the colors.
Right. Exactly. Well, and I think we're going to see this more and more often, where these AI models misappropriate protected intellectual property. We've seen it already with books, right? We've talked about that with the Anthropic situation and the stealing of the copywritten books. And so I think it's going to be interesting in this particular instance, what kind of retribution is paid to the artist, because their works are getting stolen. And, a lot of this falls too under the doctrine of derivative works too, where they've basically taken the copyright, and even if they've altered it a little bit, it's still a work derived from that original work of authorship here.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, here's another one. And again, folks, we're not saying this is right or wrong, this is true or false. We're just talking about the news. But here's one that I saw just yesterday. Can you see this?
Mm-hmm.
Financial influencer and author Cody Sanchez was sued for copyright infringement regarding her unauthorized use of Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos on her Instagram account for selling her book and consulting services. I mean, think about that. You know, that's pretty scary, but it looks like this is it. And it looks like she's trying to sell her book, and there's the image, you know? But that's, if you can't, and she's, again, $7,500, not pennies, just came out. Pretty scary. But yet, if you're Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, do you want your image? And people might be like, what? My image is IP. But think about it. Like, imagine if people took your face, my face, and put it on things that I don't support or value. And now all of a sudden my followers, your readers, your clients, they're confused and they're like, oh, well, Katie said this is acceptable. Katie's with this product. I trust Katie. Now I'm going to go buy this product. And hey, it was defective. So what do you think, Katie, of even that, that we live in a world to get today where your NIL is essentially your own?
Right. Well, because I think too, a lot of times people don't realize you have the ability to control how your name, your image, and your likeness is used. And I think that's why too, especially in this age of AI, we're seeing people trademark their names, right?
Yeah. Where I this,
did. Yeah, that you can control how it's used and you can build up recognition in your branding that yeah. way too, so that people, these bots and things can't just use your name or attribute things to you that you didn't really authorize either. Because I think that's a big problem too we're seeing with the AI is the amount of fake things. You know, fake websites getting ripping off, you know, protected content. And so it's definitely something to stay aware of because there's a lot of crimes happening through these tools too.
So much so that I think it was here, Denmark. Denmark's approach to copyright and deepfakes is this a model for the EU. This was just done recently. Denmark has prepared amendments to national copyright rules to grant people more control over their voices and images in AI generated deepfakes. It proposes a novel approach that would introduce new personality rights using copyright law. And again, back to Leah's point, Leah, I think the question is like, what's the motive? Is the motive of an artist to inspire an artist? Fine. Like, I've been inspired by C.S. Lewis as a writer. That doesn't mean I'm taking Mere Christianity, his book, and basically saying, I'm going to put my name on it. And that's what AI is doing. AI is saying, and if you question that, then say, well, why are they doing it? 100% valuation.
Right.
There's this thing called the AI model collapse, which we talked about on a previous episode. You can definitely listen to it. But the whole point is that these aren't dumb companies. They're basically saying like, look, we know that we're going to go down in valuation if we keep training on, you know, previous AI work. And so it needs new content. Where is it getting new content? From authors, from artists, from creators, from singers. Why? Money.
Right.
So, I mean, don't you think one is inspired by like the art? And that's what Leah's talking about. And then another one is saying, no, I'm actually taking your content without your permission so I can increase the bottom line for our investors and stockholders.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
So I think one is it comes down to motive. But yeah, what happens in a world where anything can be taken and monetized by somebody else and like Murphy Campbell, like some of these other people are seeing on social media, they're getting locked out of their own IP.
That's right. And it's a real problem. And, you know, I think that just speaks to the point of why protecting your work is so important. In protecting it early, because in this digital age, right, if you don't protect it, you very well risk getting locked out of your work here.
And here's where I see, Katie, and this is probably isn't popular to say, but I'm just going to say it. People who don't value their IP don't value themselves. You know, again, some of it's ignorance. But some of it is, you know what? I've seen this so many times with authors that we've published over 2,000 authors with one of my companies, Igniting Souls. Certain people don't publish or they're scared to publish because they don't think they have anything of worth. Oh, what happens if I write a book and nobody reads it? you know, what happened? Why should I publish a book? It costs time and money. I don't think my story is that important. Like, it honestly comes down, I've seen this so much, and probably it's from my past own struggle with self-image and self-injury. But if you don't value yourself, you won't value your IP.
That's right. That's right. And because you think it's not, there's nothing worth protecting, but there absolutely is. And I think this really demonstrates the why behind you should do, you know, but and why it's so important to protect it, but to protect it as soon as possible too, because it's not a matter of if it's going to get infringed. It's a matter of when it is.
Ah, that's good. Yeah. And kind of the quote that we've actually protected now, the instant IP, we've used that, but it's your ideas are either protected or they're training someone else's AI model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's a really good quote that we've shown the devices. I'll show people again if they're watching. But the amount of AI devices that are hitting in 26 and 27, it's exactly what Katie's saying. It's saying that the default is that people are recording. It's just happening. And again, some of you are in situations where you can see this, Katie, but it's like your ideas are already being recorded. You can see my screen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at these. These are, you know, certain AirPods, ear pods, you know, today are recording. Watches, pendants, rings, recorders, glasses. You know, these are just more and more. You will be like, if a company isn't building AI recording into its device, it's going to be irrelevant. Like, you know, what are you going to choose to have a watch that can't record or that can? You know, most people are going to be like, in fact, even if you don't have a choice, the only way you can buy a watch soon will be like, oh, it's AI integrated. People, the customer is demanding this. And so back to your point, Katie, you know, yesterday I was at a lunch and that I was having a lunch meeting and I said to the person, I said, do you mind if I record our chat with Granola AI? And the person said, yeah, no problem. Why? And I said, because in this meeting, I know we're going to talk about 25 things that are action items that need to happen, because I was coaching this person. And sure enough, at the end of the chat, after they gave me the permission, it spit out, here's exactly what you talked about. Here's what you need to do. Here's what your client needs to do. Here's the action items. It's too handy.
Right, right.
It's too handy to be like, oh, let's just write down on notes, you know? Let's just write down on pieces of paper and then convert it into calendar and then convert it. It's too easy with AI. It's too amazing. But then here's what happens, Katie. If during that lunch we talk about something that's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing IP, you bet we bust out our phone, we name it, we describe it, we protect it. It's now timestamped so that if it's fed into an AI model and the AI model takes it, spits it out, tries to claim it, we can go back to the blockchain and say, look, this was the first use. Here's our hash. Here's the superscript IP. It gives a time and a place in a court of law to say AI just didn't come up with that on its own.
Right, exactly. And it shows, you know, proof of conception of the idea with that hash. So then you have that immutable timestamp of when that idea was created to thwart against these AI manipulations
That's so good. Yeah, no, I agree. So folks, Leah, we're going to send this to you, not because you're asking the wrong questions, you're asking the right questions. So glad you publicly said, hey, I got some questions about this. And I love the fact that she is teachable, wants to learn. I want to learn. I learn every day. But I'll tell you this, Leah, that I just knew on a Facebook post back and forth, we wouldn't be able to get into the dynamics. And that's the danger of trying to solve all this on a social media post is you can't get nuance, you can't get body language, you can't get intent. And so I think, Katie, we may be seeing Leah on a future podcast episode, because she is a pretty big musician. And, you know, just to talk through this, and maybe kind of like Heather Parody. Heather Parody's a friend where in the beginning she had the same thing. She said, oh, I just think, you know, creativity, we all are inspired by each other. But she just wrote a post. I got to get this. This is so good. If it's publicly available. But don't you think some of these people are learning this, Katie? Like,
exactly. Yeah. Because the thing is, it's such a new technology. Yeah. And there, you know, as this technology gets adopted more and more, we're going to see more and more court guidance on it, yeah, too. Yeah. And so right now it's kind of this unknown territory. But I think, too, as these tools become more and more widely accepted and used, we're going to see more and more guidance on this too. And there's going to be just, you know, more collective knowledge about the use of these tools as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we're shouting out a lot of people here, but so be it, because they're doing amazing work. But Leah's one. I'm going to show you Andrea Olson, super smart, produced like a boss. And she's really at the forefront of this whole, like, hey, we want to protect musicians with AI. And I've been on her show, and but she's great. And I want to show you Heather's article. We'll land the plane with this. Again, I really like what Heather said, because she said, before you promote your work, protect it. What intellectual property taught me about creative confidence? So you can see this.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I wrote about the responsibility that comes with sharing someone else's story. This week, I'm thinking about our own responsibility. When we talk about promotion, we usually focus on getting people to notice our work, but there's a step that comes before promotion that most of us miss: protecting it. Not only identifying our intellectual property, but taking the intentional step to protect it and learning to see its value in the first place. I first started learning about protecting IP from my friend Carrie at first, this is funny, I'm glad she admits it. When we started talking about protecting IP, I thought that was a few stages down the road from where I was. What I didn't realize and what he shared with me is that no one will take my work seriously until I do first. And she talks about James Clear and how you have to identify yourself. But then down here, there's something else. Here's where we ended. Carrie was sharing about IP because he started a company, Instant IP, using blockchain technology. I've told this before to Carrie. I've resisted it. Who really owns ideas? But when you look at professionals, people who take their work seriously, they value their protecting their work. It's a financial component, but it's more than that. Protecting your work isn't just about valuing it. This is it. Isn't just about protecting an asset. It's about acknowledging what you've created has value. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because it is, I like that idea, because when you do protect something, you are saying this is an asset, right? This is a very valuable piece of property for me and my business.
So Heather works with these many times starving artists, starving creators, not all of them, but they're like, oh, I wish I could make money. I wish I could monetize this. Why? So I could do it more full time. But she basically is saying, all the tactics in the world aren't going to help us if we don't first value what we're bringing to the table. So I think that's it. I think the first step of any artist, any author, any musician, any creator is protect what you've created. Katie has Wigan and Dana, trademarks, patents, copyrights. We're a first fast layer instant IP. We're not trying to sell you a service. We're trying to say you're never going to be able to monetize your asset. maximize your message unless you first see the value of it, i.e. protecting it. So thanks for being here today. Katie, thanks for this insightful talk. We went in a lot of different ways, and I'm going to make sure that we tag Andrea, Leah, and Heather, because they're all doing great work too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. See you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Brought to you by Instant IP and WiganX. Visit Instant IP today and WiganX.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.